I always like to start off by saying thank you. I'd like to thank Dave, as the senior leader here, is very gracious when it comes to allowing people to speak up here. And that's not a common thing in a lot of churches. And it's really a testament to his belief of building up the body of Christ and letting people live into their gifts and expanding them to their greatest abilities. And that's an awesome thing. So I just want to say thank you. And I also want to thank the senior leadership here because, you know, since we've been coming here, I've learned a ton and it's changed me and my outlook on life. And it's, I think that I'm in a much better place than where I was before. I've been thinking about generational blessings for a while now. I don't know why, but it's been on my mind. And so I did a little research, and I also wanted to share with you guys a little bit about, today I'm just going to speak about like how God sees people and how he sees generations and how we can live into that. But first, I just wanted to look at like some major events in people who are on planet Earth right now, because there's a lot of generations on planet Earth. And if you look at the, it's kind of small, the font there, but maybe I can step you through it anyway. So the generation of my father, right, was called the GI generation, or you hear it called the greatest generation. And I want to look at major events that the different generations have gone through that's on planet Earth. And I'll bring the point to the in the end. You'll see why I want to speak that way. But so the GI generation, they lived through the Great Depression. And I don't know if everybody even heard about that, but that was like... I still joke about it today. I say, because my mother lived through the Great Depression, and I say she has depression mentality because she never wants to throw anything out, right? And anybody who ever lived through that, thank you. Mm-hmm. Anybody who ever lived through that or knew people who lived through that, some of that gets on you, you know, and some of it's not bad. Sometimes it gets a little crazy, but keeping stuff that can't be fixed a little too long. But, you know, if you live through a depression where, and we got a little taste of this, like when, you know, you're going into a supermarket and there's no toilet paper, right? And the people are hoarding toilet paper and paper napkins because they're afraid they're not going to have enough. And that's really what depression mentality is all about, you know? So, but they live through this terrible time. And World War II, everybody's heard about World War II. I mean, when I look at the story of my father, I like interviewed him and I typed up his story. And I'm super interested in anything World War II. I could watch that all day long on TV and never watch anything else and be happy because it's just an intriguing time. If you could imagine living at a time where the whole world was at war, it wasn't just like one country against another, like we've seen some things happen, you know, in more recent time. It was, there was wars in Europe. There were Asia-Pacific wars. It was all over the whole globe. Can you imagine living at a time like that? And you didn't even know what was happening. I remember my father said that every young man in his senior class in high school got drafted to be in the Army. So everybody you knew, imagine if that was you, you all had to go in. You didn't know what you were getting into. You had to go through basic training. They ship you over in ships that take days to get to Europe or if you were in the Pacific theater. And you didn't know what you were going to get. You didn't know if you were going to live or die. A matter of fact, if you talk to men who were going into that, they said they felt it was a 50-50 chance I was going to survive. You know, so imagine living life like that. Okay, so that's the first one over there. The next one is called the Silent Generation. The Silent Generation was the generation that came right after World War II, and in that generation, they were too young to serve in World War II, but they also experienced some issues too. I don't know, I remember studying this in school called the Dust Bowl. I'm like, what in the world is a Dust Bowl? I forgot who I was talking to yesterday. And did you ever hear of the Dust Bowl? What's the Dust Bowl? There was actually, can you imagine like the Midwest? And I don't know, you guys, if anybody ever flew over a plane over the Midwest, I mean, there's like, as far as the eye could see, there's farms and stuff growing. There was a drought and all that stuff was like burnt up and it was dust. And, you know, people are wondering, where's our, how are we going to have food? How are we going to survive? So this generation went through that. They also went through the Korean War. You probably heard that too. And the whole thing with communism coming in. And, you know, we were trying to prevent the communists from North Korea to taking over South Korea. And then the Chinese got involved. And then it was, you know, and finally it was resolved. And it's still the same issue today, where there's a North Korea that's communist and a South Korea that's not. And there's this demilitarized zone, and they're always on edge on who's going to, like, take the first shot, right? So that's what they lived through. They also lived through the great stock market crash. Like, we think we had crashes. You might, if you remember studying this stuff in school, where people who had all of their money in the stock market, who were, like, you know, millionaires, they actually killed themselves. They're people who jumped off of buildings in New York City because their whole life, that's all that it revolved about, was their wealth. And because that was gone, they lost it all. They committed suicide, you know. So that great crash, that was a, you know, can you imagine living through a time like that? That had to be kind of you know, scary, right? And then the baby boomers. That's my generation. Yay for the baby boomers. And actually, that's, I think, the oldest generation that's in this church, right? The baby. I was actually thinking about some of the other generations that were here just a couple of years ago that are no longer with us, right? Some of the women that were here who passed away, Sister Josephine, I think about her. And now it's our generation is the oldest generation. I remember when I was like, you guys, you young guys over there sitting at church and say, oh, look at those old people up there. Now I'm like kind of, I don't feel old, but I guess I'm in the oldest generation in this church, right? So baby boomers, you know, what did we see? Well, the whole reason they're called baby boomers had to do with that after World War II, you know, people came back, they got married, and they had a lot of kids, and that's why they call it. There was a baby boom. There's a whole mess of babies coming along. We experienced, you know, the Vietnam War, and it was a really crazy time. So, you know, some of the stuff that's going on now with the riots and buildings burning down, that same type of stuff was happening back in the 60s. People were protesting the Vietnam War. There was, like, uproar and upheaval, and it was, like, one side against the other. Because the Vietnam War is very similar to, like, the Korean War in that we were supporting the Vietnamese, the part of the Viet Cong that was that was for democracy, and the communists wanted to take over, and we were trying to prevent that. But eventually, you know, we succumbed and left Vietnam, and then the communists took over, and today it's a communist country because of that. But that, imagine, you know, living through that time and same type of crazy stuff happening. Now we move into Generation X, right? Probably not the best name for a generation, but yeah. There's some Generation Xers here. You know, they were originally called the baby busters because people weren't having as many kids then in that generation. Fertility rates went down. They experienced the AIDS epidemic and the fall of the Berlin Wall, which was a really positive thing. You know, mostly I'm just putting negative stuff here just to give you guys a little idea of all the problems that every generation has lived through. Then the millennials. The millennials came next, and you know, there's a lot of talk about millennials. They experienced the rise of the internet. I mean, some of you in this church sitting here today, I mean, you know, you probably don't even, you like, know what an 8-track player was or a cassette player. I mean, everything is digital. And, you know, a baby, when it's like just able to do anything, they could manage to use a cell phone or something like that and figure it out just by pressing buttons, and they kind of learn. It's amazing that, living in that internet age. But September 11th, right over here. I mean, there's a picture of on our wall of New York City, right, with where the towers went down. And that was like nobody knew what was happening then, or we in a war. And it was. I remember I was stuck overseas. I was actually in Portugal on a business trip, and I couldn't even come back home. And everything was shut down. It was kind of scary. I couldn't get in touch with my wife and my kids and everything. And we thought that there was going to be even a bigger attack. And then what happened after that? There were the Gulf Wars, right? And that was also a scary time. I remember Saddam Hussein saying that, you know, this is going to be the mother of all wars, and, you know, America is going to be taken down by all of this. And it went the other way, of course. But that was also a, you know, kind of scary time too. And then Generation Z, right, came after that. They were the kids that they were sometimes thought of as the I generation. And then I threw in there where we are right now in present day, COVID-19. Now, some of you guys who might not have lived through any of this stuff or don't remember some of those other problems, you might think like this time we're living through is like, you know, the worst possible thing that could happen. But think about all the other generations that had problems and the things that they went through. And you know, what we're going through actually compared to what they went through is not such a bad thing. You know, I mean, I don't want to make light of it because, you know, as Dave said, you know, we have to take care and, you know, especially the vulnerable populations, we have to make sure that they're protected. But it's not as bad as what some other people lived through, like World War II and all this other stuff, the Great Depression. And people probably thought the world was coming to an end at that point in time. And maybe some of you guys kind of feel that with this. But I want to take you back to a time in the Bible. And the prophet Jeremiah, and in Jeremiah 29, is most known for 29:11, where it says that God's thoughts for you are good, right? But it's interesting what comes before that. And I think I've shared this too. Oh, before I do that, I don't know, can you guys see the picture up here? This is a picture of my grandfather, and I don't know if you could see him on my mother's side, Salvatore. The reason I did that is because this is representing four generations, because the little baby over there is Alphonse. Isn't he cute? And he's in a swing. And my grandfather, I don't know, you can't see it so good, but if you look at this picture, and when I looked at it, I forgot. I remember this picture. I asked Ronnie yesterday, can you find this picture? Because I want to use it in church to make the illustration of the generations. There's four generations in that picture. But if you look at my grandfather, and I was like saying, oh, I think my grandfather was like 98, 99. No, Ronnie goes, no, he was 100 in this picture. But if you look at his face, and you can't see it as good as I could see it on my iPad, this guy looks like robust, healthy, like you would never know that he was 100 years old. But the point I'm going to make about generations is that because of a decision he made in the 1920s, it changed me and even my son's opportunities. Like nothing else that any other decision that you could make in your life, it changed it. Because he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior back in the 1920s, and it changed not only his life, but generations. And that's really the big message I want to share. But I got a lot of other stuff, too, I want to like unpack, too, inside of that, too, because there's more to the story than just that. But that's kind of a cool picture, and I just had that in my mind. So here's on Jeremiah the prophet, right? And this is a letter to the exile. So you think, you know, it's rough here in COVID-19 and you know, what's life going to be like? And you could even look at like the political parties, you know, in our country. There's so much animosity and hatred one for the other, right? And, you know, we as Christians, we're called to love everybody, you know, no matter what. I mean, Jesus even loved those that were crucifying him when he was on the cross. He said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. If he could do that while he's dying and his lifeblood is coming out of him, how much more can we forgive those who, you know, might even say terrible things about us because of our beliefs, right? So can you imagine taking out of your home country and then being transported to another country? Because that's what this was. These are exiles. These are people from Israel. After they got conquered, they were in Babylon, and they were slaves. They had no freedom whatsoever. And this is the letter that was to them. And I've shared this before, but I couldn't think of any other better description of a mindset that we should have today with all of the upheaval and maybe uncertainty, you know, with the pandemic and everything too. Think about this. So you're kind of like a captive in another country, and this is what the letter that is said here in verse 4 of Jeremiah 29. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you will prosper too. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. So any prophets that were saying something contrary to this was false, right? So, all right, people are like, I've heard people say this. I teach a class, right? And I remember one of the students, I think it was this last semester, and he was saying, I don't want to bring a child into this world. I even had somebody on my team at work, who's like a young woman, 30 years old. She said the same thing. I don't want to bring a child into the world. I said, well, I mean, look at you. And she's like a really, you know, awesome person. I said, you know, you would bring another child into the world who's going to make the world a better place. She said, yeah, that's what my parents said, too. I said, yeah, well, you know, that's amazing. And I was telling this other young man who was in the class that I was teaching, you know, I said, you know, I wouldn't think that way. You know, and things are not as bad as this. And I can't imagine. I mean, it's got to go really, really south to get anywhere near what these people in Babylon had, who had no freedoms whatsoever. And the word of the Lord was to, what I put up here, live. Live life. Don't worry about what's going on. You know, as long as you live life according to God's way, things are going to be okay, you know, no matter what the environment's like. I think that's a good takeaway for us today, to really, you know, don't be in fear of what the future holds, even if you think it's going to go south. And we pray for the best possible situation, and we want to, you know, support those who will bring the best possible situation, right? But I'm just saying, you know, let's say something, there's a turn in the future. You know, I was talking to somebody recently, they said the same thing. We're worried about bringing a child into this world. And like, well, you got to trust in God, because it's not, look at the early Christians too. I mean, the first Christians, they were persecuted. They brought kids into the world. It's not worse than that now. There's not Christians being fed to lions in the Colosseum, right, today. Yeah, you could say there's some tough times, but it ain't anything like that. And they continue to live. And that was God's message to them, is to live, prosper, and pray for the city where you're at. And I'm really happy that here at Urban Mission, that's one of our key things. Once a month, we get together and we pray for the prosperity of Jersey City. The declaration we just said for the offering is for the prosperity of, you know, not only ourselves, but for the place where we're planted over here, right? So that's one thing. Another thing I just want to, you know, God thinks in generational terms. Look at this scripture in 2 Peter 3:8. It says, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, that's a really good thing in a lot of different ways. Like, sometimes we have been given words and, you know, they haven't come to pass, but, you know, it's in God's timing. And sometimes things happen fast. Sometimes it takes a while. The good thing about this is that in the end, one of the good points here, I think, is that God is not slack in his promises. His promises are true. God is not like a man. He doesn't lie, right? What he says is true. So if he says he's going to bless you, he's going to bless you. And he says he's going to bless you if you follow him. So, you know, the blessings, you might be going through a trial right now, but the blessings are on the horizon. The blessings are on their way. They're going to come. And the other good thing here is that God is long-suffering towards us. He doesn't want to see anybody perish. So sometimes things get put out a little bit longer, giving people an opportunity to come back to God, you know, and to give their heart to the Lord. All right. So God thinks in generational terms, and he's a long-term thinker, right? He's not like an instant microwave type of God. It takes time. You know, it is another interesting thing, too, is like if you think about like people who run vineyards, right? And when you plant a vine, you don't get wine for like 5 years. You know, that's a thinking forward. People who build these big skyscrapers in New York City, it takes years for them to be constructed. Look how long it took the Freedom Tower to be built, right? But in the end, it gets built and it gets used and it gets to be a blessing to those around it. So you want to be blessed beyond your wildest dreams? Anybody up for that? Anybody want that? I'd like to be blessed beyond my wildest dreams. You know, I always say, to people, when if I ever have a chance to talk to them about God, I said the best life you possibly could have on planet Earth is when you surrender your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You can't have a better life than that. It's impossible. So here is one of the promises of God in Exodus 20. It says, "You shall not bow down to them or worship them." It's talking about idols. "For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands." So you have a choice. You can love God and his ways, or you can hate God and his ways. You love God, you get a blessing, not only for you, but up to 1,000 generations. And I just showed you four generations in one picture, right? It was a 100-year gap right there. It's pretty amazing, right? Think about that. 1,000 generations. So, you know, these blessings get passed on to your children and your children's children. I think that's so awesome because it's not just for me. It's for everybody around me and everybody who I hold dear in my life. Here's another really awesome scripture in Psalm 103. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies." Isn't that an awesome set of verses there? You know, there's a lot of forgetting God's benefits going on nowadays. It's so easy to try to do things your own way and to forget all the blessings that come from serving God. Sometimes when you taste and see how good the Lord is, as you're following God for a while, sometimes you forget like what things were like prior to following God, and you slide back, right? That's why we always need course corrections. That's why we always need to be reminded of these blessings in the scripture. But, you know, he heals us from all our diseases. He redeems your life from destruction. When you follow God's way, I mean, you're so less likely to fall into paths of destruction, things like addictions, right? Things like having hatred or unforgiveness in your life that can destroy you. And I've seen it rip people apart from the inside, not just drug addictions or alcohol addictions. I'm talking about like unforgiveness of holding grudges against people, lifelong grudges. When you follow God, you don't have that. You don't have the right to hold a grudge against anybody because of what we were before serving God and what we are now and the forgiveness that comes our way. I mean, he crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. I mean, that's so awesome. Let's not forget all the blessings of God. Now, I want to show you a hard blessing to accept or to believe in. With Abraham, right? So I'm just going to read this, and then I'm going to take another little snippet from his story. There's so many things in the Bible that we can unpack when it comes to generational blessings, but this is a good one. Genesis 17. Now, I showed you a picture of my grandfather at 100, right? Think of this. This is Abraham. He was 1 year younger than my grandfather when this came to him, right? Isn't that amazing? When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless." So if anybody's tuned in here and you feel like you're old, God can make promises to you at your old, no matter what age. As long as you're breathing, there's promises that God will make to you. And there's things for you to do, and there's people for you to bless, and there's blessings even for yourself. "Then I will make a covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." My numbers? He didn't have any kids at this time either. 99 years old. Abraham fell face down, and God said to him, and this is a good thing, when God speaks to you, you know, you humbly receive it, you know, and you just like adore God and like, wow. "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram," because that was his name. "Your name will be Abraham," which means father of many nations. "For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very faithful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant with an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come. There's a generational blessing, right? Generations to come. To be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. So this is like a hard, a hard word to believe. You know, some of us might have had hard words given to us in our life. But this is, you know, had no kids, 99 years old, you know. And then you know the story, right, that Sarah got pregnant and gave birth to Isaac, right? And then even God, even during that, he was asked to even sacrifice Isaac. He didn't, in the end, God stopped him from doing that. But it's that kind of faithfulness and that kind of all-out belief in God, all-out following of God is that favor that just flows like a river. You know, and it wasn't only him that got blessed. It was everybody around him. He had a lot of wealth, and he had a lot of people who work for him. They all got blessed as a result of this. But let's look, you know, so think about the generational blessings to 1,000 generations. But you know what? The next generation still has to choose God on their own for those blessings. You just tap into like a magnificent, you have the best opportunity when you're coming from a family of believers to follow God and to have the best life you possibly could even imagine on planet Earth. But you still have to make a decision. And let's look at somebody who made a decision, a very frivolous decision if you really think about it, who kind of turned away a blessing. Can you imagine that? I'm going to offer you all the best life you could possibly have, and you're going to like turn it away and give it up. Happens all the time, you know. But this is another scripture. Before I tell you that story, I just want to read this. This is another part of where it talks about 1,000 generations. So just quickly, I just want to say, know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is faithful. God, he's a faithful God. You agree with that? He is a faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. But those who hate him, he will repay to their face by the destruction. He will not be slow to repay to their face those who hate him. You know, you could focus on that last part and say, well, you know, God, I thought God was a loving God. But if you look at the point on the bottom here, God's grace last longer than 1,000 times more than his wrath. So you could like spit in God's face, you could curse God or whatever, and there's some repercussions for that, but there's so much more on the blessing side. That's why I'm focusing on the blessing side. Let's not think about that part of it. So this is another time in the scripture where it talks about a blessing of 1,000 generations. Now I want to talk to you about Esau real quickly. So in the lineage of Abraham, there's Isaac and Jacob, right? Jacob had a brother called Esau, an older brother called Esau. In those days, the older brother kind of got like the lion's share of the blessings, right, from the family because he was the oldest, right? And he was the firstborn, right? So he got the blessings. Jacob wanted those blessings, even though he came out, you know, they were twins too, right? And he came out second, you know. I think it even said in the Bible, like he grabbed hold of Esau's foot when he was being delivered, you know. So he always wanted that. And that's a whole other message. We're not going to go there about, you know, not letting God do the work instead of you do the work. I mean, there's a whole other message there, which this is probably a good example of where he didn't do that. Him, when he cooked up this thing. But anyway, once, when Jacob was cooking some stew, and apparently he was a really good chef, Jacob, I guess he made this really great stew, Esau came in from the open country famished. So he was probably out hunting or something like that, and was out for a while, didn't eat anything. He said to Jacob, quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished. And instead of Jacob just saying, yeah, sure, here you go, Jacob replied, first sell me your birthright. Let me be the firstborn. Let me have all the privileges, the honors, and the blessings of the firstborn. Now, you would think, like, I'm hungry. I could probably go into the next tent over back then and grab a bite of something else to eat. But he wanted that stew so bad, he said, look, I'm about to die, which was, you know, an overstatement big time, right? Esau said, what good is this, the birthright to me? But Jacob said, swear to me first. So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to him for a bowl of soup. Can you imagine? Like, let's say I was going to give you $1 million, you know, as a blessing that you could use, invest, or whatever. And, you came back and you're hungry and you gave that up, you know, because you wanted a bowl of soup. It's kind of like that type of, it's kind of really crazy, a frivolous thing. He gave it up for what? For a bowl of soup? It really is mind-boggling to think about somebody giving up God's blessings for that. But let me tell you something. That's something that's happening day in and day out. Now, I ask all of you, if you just think about your families, like I can look at my grandfather, and he always used to, like when would have his birthday parties every year, he would get up and he would tell his life story, you know, and he would encourage, and this is a room full of a lot of people, you know, and he would always say, I have 7 children and 26 grandchildren, and I think he had 8 or 9 great-grandchildren. And he said, look how much 2 people can do, right, him and his wife. Yeah, Jeremy and Paula, you're on your way. Look how much 2 people can do. It's an amazing thing, you know. But, you know, of his children, the 7 children, all of them eventually accepted the Lord, but there were some of them, it took a while to accept the Lord. And they had children. And because they didn't have that, that they didn't make that faith decision to follow Jesus during the earliest point that they can, some of the children didn't get that, you know, and they didn't get that benefit. And it wasn't part of, you know, they weren't encouraged to come to church and to serve God and to forget not all his blessings and see all the blessings of God. And so as time went on, they didn't have that same like DNA, and that generational blessing was put on the side. And, you know, I don't want to talk about specifics, but, you know, there's been some tragedies and trials that have come into those parts of the family. So there's a decision that has to be made. And people today are giving up the opportunity, the blessings of God, for a bowl of soup, you know, or less, you know, for a good time, you know, to, you know, get high on drugs, or, you know, succumb to peer pressure and follow, you know, something that you know, that's so evident that it's contrary to God, or give in to, let's say, having premarital sex because somebody's putting pressure on you and you're afraid to lose them. There's so many decisions that get made that have ramifications. But the good thing is, you always can turn back to God and then get back on that 1,000-generation train, you know? That's the beauty of serving God. You can make a bad decision and get back on that. And your family has that 1,000-generation. You could have sold it for a bowl of soup. You could still get back on that train and receive all of those blessings. You know, a lot of this I've been sharing has been from the Old Testament, but I want to share what Jesus said. And you can see the parallels with the stories from the Old Testament, because it all matches up, right? The Old Testament and the New Testament. So this is Jesus, the John 15. And the point I want to make is that you're a part of God's family. So you're in once you say yes to God. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So, you know, once you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're grafted into his family, into the family of God. It's like being adopted, right, into a family. Once you're adopted and you're a full son or a daughter, you have all the privileges that that family has. The inheritance of that family is yours. That's a pretty amazing thing. One of the parallels with that 1,000-generation blessing here is, you know, a lot of times people think of Jesus like he was like all love, but there's ramifications for turning your back on God. Even Jesus says that here. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. So stay connected to God. Stay with Him. You know, you mess up, get back up on, get pick yourself back up, get on the train, and you'll get those blessings. If you do not remain in Me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers, and you know it gets burned. So, you know, there's those you can get off of that blessing train. You know, and I encourage everyone here today to consider the blessings of God and all that comes from that. So what do I have to do? What do I have to do, Al, to live a righteous life? I really like this scripture in Micah. What does God require of you? Me. What does God require of us? It's very simple. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. God's ways. When you follow God's ways, it's good. I mean, the lack of issues that can come into your life when you follow, like I almost plead with you, you don't realize, if you have never accepted Christ and fully followed Him, you don't realize the amount of joy, the amount of blessings, the fulfillment, the crazy stuff you don't have to worry about when you do things God's way. So that's what's good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. You heard about mercy on that Wednesday night prayer, right? How merciful God is to us and how merciful we have to be to others. And that's another characteristic of God's family. You love justice. You love mercy. You're slow to anger. It's contrary to a lot of the things we're seeing nowadays, you know? So this is the key message I wanted to bring to you. There is a thousand generation blessing that's available to you today, and all you have to do is say yes to Jesus Christ, and you know, be committed to follow Him and to live in His ways and to love Him and to love His ways. So I always like whenever I hear a message or a teaching or whatever, what are the key takeaways for me? So I kind of boiled it down. This is what I was thinking of when I was putting this together. One of the key takeaways from this message today is that the decisions you make today affect your present and your future, right? And then secondarily, we need to live. Even though we're going through hard times right now, and I mean, there's a lot to be thankful for, though, right? Like those of us who haven't lost our jobs, you know, there's a lot to be thankful for. We still have an income. We're still able to, you know, get food and still able to get together and to see family and all the blessings, you know, of fellowship is really an awesome thing. So if God be for us, who can be against us? Think about that. If you're worried about, you know, serving God and what could be some of the downside, there's no downside. There is no downside in serving God. And then the third is to embrace God's thousand generation blessing. And don't forget, when you're blessed, everybody else around you is blessed. Your children, your children's children, their children, et cetera, et cetera. Plus, I would say your extended family, your friends, your coworkers, the people you run into when you're so pleasant and happy and you're seeing somebody and you're like blessing them and you have a generous heart because you're serving God. Everybody gets blessed. You know, that when they always say that with that saying, like a raising tide raises all ships. I mean, that's the blessing of God, of serving Him. So those are the key takeaways. That's what I wanted to share with you. Let's all stand up and say these declarations together. And those of you who are watching online, you can say them too with me. I'll try to say them slow. Okay. I walk in the blessings of the Almighty God. Because of my faith in God, my children, children's children will see God's favor to a thousand generations. Because I am blessed, I will bless everyone around me. So that's the story, everybody. Accept God's blessings.